Right, good evening, everyone.
Evening. Evening.
7 o'clock, so we'll start the meeting. Apologies for absence. Vinny has got work commitments, but other than that, we're all here. Are there any interests from councillors or comments, items on the agenda?
No.
Is there any packing up work this year?
At the end of the year.
It's the end of the year, not the end of.
No, the end of calendar year.
Okay.
Yeah. Minutes. Is everyone happy with the minutes?
Yeah.
The last meeting. Okay. So, Martin, you were happy?
Fine, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you do interest?
Yeah,
Sorry, correct.
so quick that done. So we'll suspend standing orders and open the meeting up to the public. Note, first item, annual parish meeting. That's going to be held on Wednesday, 20th of March at the school, as usual. Just cover the other items before opening to members of the public, or before asking members of the public for questions or statements. The outreach postal services have been revised, as everyone is aware. We haven't had any further information from our MP. It looks like we're down to just Monday and Wednesday open hours. Don't know if that is how it is. The police neighbourhood watch scheme is going forward. PCSO Chris Braybrooke is liaising with the parish councillor, sorry, with a member of the public, and getting that back onto its feet. The North Baldock extension, I don't have any update on that, but maybe when we come to hearing from Tom can update us on that. Any matters raised? Are there any councillors first with any matters that we want to raise at this point? Back to matters from members of the public. Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Chairman, and Happy New Year to you and all councillors.
Can't hear.
Can we turn
I don't really want to, but I can't hear.
We're all at 100%, so that's as good as it can get.
Okay.
I would say, Chairman, that actually there's some problems with your microphone cutting in and out. Sometimes we just lose the audio altogether down the line. I wonder if I've raised my voice a little, whether councillors can hear me now.
We can
yeah,
hear
we can,
you.
Yeah, we can, yeah, I can hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to say a number of things. Firstly, I wanted to remind of the excellent expression of Councillor Sims that we all need to follow the rules. And I wanted to speak tonight about a few things that I think are quite important in terms of that sentiment of us properly subscribing to the rules. First of all, I'd like to deal with the issues of papers with the agenda. I'd like to ask you, Chairman, please may I have a copy of the papers associated with the budget?
I believe we responded to you on that point.
So I'm asking you, Chairman, can I have a copy of the papers of the budget now, please?
There aren't any pre-issued papers.
So I'm not going to be able to see the papers that you're going to be discussing for the budget later in the agenda.
I've answered your question.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairman. I appreciate that. Secondly, I have a question which I hope Councillor Button can answer. It's now around 7 months since I submitted a complaint under the complaints procedure, and around
Can
7 weeks.
I and around need permission to record the meeting.
I did that earlier. It's been recorded now.
Yeah, but I need permission to record it.
Yes, it is being recorded on your device. I can see it now.
Oh, it's not showing up as is.
Well, the little red symbol is flashing at me now, saying it is being recorded.
It's been recorded by me. I'm not sure it's been recorded by the other computer that Ocean Cook is on.
Okay, so what I have done is every time a flag comes up with a request to record, I have clicked it. I will do it again.
Thank you, Chair. I'll move on, if I may, and continue what I was saying. So it's been around 7 weeks since I wrote to Councillor Button and asked for an update. It's been 7 months since the complaint went in. The good practice guide says it should be no more than 12 weeks as a maximum for a complaint to be heard. We are now getting perilously close to three times that. Can I ask Councillor Button if he's got an update for me? And can I ask Councillor Button to indicate when this matter will be heard?
Yes, I do owe you a response. Apologies for the delay in doing so. Obviously, we've had the intervening Christmas period, but I do owe you a response. So I will respond in the next couple of days to you. We have essentially are dealing with it as an HR matter within the HR committee, within the council. But I do need to communicate an update to you, and I will do so before the end of this week.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
But you know, I couldn't join your group because Mr. Cook had me electively in complaining against me and he didn't do it. And so I can't join anything new. So what is that going on? Is that anything that anybody else can know about? Rob?
So the HR committee comprises a number of councillors, but excludes parties who are conflicted, of which you essentially are one of them. So
yeah, but that was erroneous, wasn't it? Because I wasn't in part of his game.
I think it was intended that the parties that were dealing with it would be with excluding both yourself and the deputy and chair.
Right. Okay.
So it's being dealt with by that committee. It's a private matter being dealt with. But as Mr. Cook notes, I do owe him an update, and as I say, I'll resolve to do so by the end of this week.
If I can, Chairman, just picking up on something that Councillor Button said there. You did previously indicate to me, Councillor Button, that you felt it was important to have independent external advice on this matter. That continues to be the case, I trust it.
We have taken advice, yes. So, yes, we have taken independent advice.
Will the independent advice be part of the hearing? Will there be an independent advisor at the hearing?
No, the hearing is an internal HR matter for the parish council, but I've taken some independent advice in determining how we should deal with the matter at hand, which is not particularly a straightforward matter and is complicated by the fact that I suppose, subject of the complaint is usually the person that would advise on various procedural matters, hence why it's taken, along with lots of other reasons, a longer period than would be ideal to resolve.
There's no point taking any more time this evening on this, Chairman. I would just say to Councillor Button, I think that he had previously given me an assurance that an independent person would be part of the hearing process, but that's something we can take up offline in correspondence.
I think this
I'll
is
move
a
on.
matter. I think this is a matter for the parish council to determine. So I'm going to move on this. So do you have anything else that you wish to
Yes, I
raise?
do, Chairman. On the complaints policy, which is later on the agenda, two things, Chairman. Firstly, I know in that complaint policy, it talks about the importance of raising issues at the time and trying to resolve them as part of an informal process as the decision making goes on. I just remind councillors that if, for example, I had some comments I wanted to make, say, about the budget, that I will not possibly be able to be informed about what the proposals are, having not got the papers, and wouldn't possibly be able to make those comments in an informed way. So your policy exhorts parishioners and other complainants to take part in the debate at the time, but in practice, at least in some regards, that's going to prove difficult. Secondly,
The setting of the budget is an internal parish council matter.
well, so you've made your position clear. The second point on the complaints policy,
Oh,
can I have a copy of the background papers and emails associated with that item, please?
there aren't any.
There are no background papers or emails associated with that item.
The only email that I have sent is I asked another parish council who has a similar complaints policy where they had sourced it from, and they directed me to the Society of Local Council Clerks, the SLCC. That's the only email.
So I'm asking for a copy of that, Chair.
Okay.
Have a copy of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. At the last council meeting, you provided an update on a complaint which was concluded about yourself. And I asked you at the time if you had an interest to declare, given that the complaint was about yourself. I would ask you now, sir, given that the minutes are there and it's in the minutes that you led that debate, and it was also informed by the clerk, who has a tangential and parallel complaint against them using the same evidence base. I would ask you, sir, to whether you considered, whether you reflected on whether or not you should have declared an interest, and whether it was appropriate for the person, for the two people who were the subject of a complaint, to be the only two people who fed back to the parish council about the complaint about themselves.
I don't have those after me. If you wish to raise that, then please send a separate email and we'll respond.
Chairman, you've signed a code of conduct and you've read a code of conduct. It's very straightforward. Do you have an interest to declare, yes or no?
I'm not going to. We're not discussing an item on this agenda that on which I have an interest to declare. So I'm not going to answer that.
I'm asking you a question about the minutes, sir. The minutes here
Give me.
are here in front of you.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I wonder if you could answer a question.
I'm afraid your time is up now, Mr. Cook. We have other members of the public here, and we have other business to conduct. I think we've given you plenty of time. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for those very helpful answers, Chairman.
It's a pleasure.
Actually, it's right for the for this section.
Yeah.
Sad man.
Are there any other questions or comments from the other Zoom members? No. Okay. We'll move on to Councillor Steve Jarvis. Thank you.
Hello. Hello. You want me to come? Do I need to come closer?
No,
okay.
No, actually, you're both on camera, just.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't have a great deal to talk about. The Townsend Meadow footway, I think last time we discussed the possibility of getting the County Council to use the developer's bond in order to build a footway. However, it now transpires that the developer's never paid the bond. So the Highways Department have now written to Belfast Planning, inviting them to consider enforcement action in the light of the failure to build a footway. And Tom may know more about that, but that's, I'm afraid, as far as I got with that. I thought I'd been told previously that the Section 106, Section 278 agreement had been signed, but I think actually what I was told was perhaps that it was complete. And ready to be signed. And there may have been a distinction that I didn't perhaps appreciate there. But the developer hasn't paid the money, so the County Council won't have signed it. But what comes down to is they can't spend the money to build the footway because they haven't got it. There's been some correspondence, some further discussion about the planters by the War Memorial. There are some planters identified, which I think you have pictures of before the last meeting.
Yeah.
There is some discussion, a bit more discussion about exactly where they should go, so the safety audit people can be satisfied that they won't cause a problem for the project visibility. They told me that they were worried about them hiding children standing on the pavement and about to cross the road. But since then, any child that would be small enough to be hidden by the planter would be about 18 months old. That's square an adult anyway. But hopefully we can sort that out. I think Gary Hedding has sent some emails about information on exact location.
Yeah, that's me, and I'm dealing with getting some people.
Hopefully we can get that moved on. I think the only other thing I was going to say, clearly there have been a lot of impacts at the storm at the start of the year. I mean, all the highway things, I think, have all been resolved. The rights of way ones, although I think the one between Lovelane and Hinsworth Road has been dealt with.
They've
been working their way around. There are a few. There was one in Thurfield where it blocked the only route to someone's house. So clearly ones like that get priority. But they are working their way around with those kind of things. And I think finally also someone raised with me the condition of Boat 31 Partridge Hill and Rights of Way are looking at that. I think that's a long-standing issue in terms of the poor drainage of it. But Rights of Way are looking to see whether or not there's anything that they should be able to land that they can do. So I don't know if you have an answer, but they've agreed to go and take a look because it's barely possible in places from the pictures I've seen. I've actually walked up there, so I don't want to send last photo.
I'm due to contact the landowner as well to ask him what he plans to do. The weather has been particularly bad so far.
Yeah.
It's inevitable it's going to get churned up if what is appropriate at the right time.
Yeah.
But I'll contact him.
Okay, and I think that's all I had to say.
Great, thanks, Steve. Tom?
Yes, well, if I pick up on Townsend Meadow as well to start with. In Steve's defence, I did actually go back over the email exchange that was forwarded to me in the summer, in which the highways man appears to confirm the Section 278 agreement had been signed off and the bonds imminent going to be paid, and there was sort of a definite tone that the job was done. It's going to be fine, and that was in June last summer, but it transpires that we're back to where we started from, really, in that North Harts Council enforcement team are going to have to decide how to progress with that, assuming that the County Council asks them to intervene in that situation. So I'll write to the relevant officer and see what they know, but it does sound very much like somewhere that will be performed, unfortunately.
Are there any instances where North Harts Enforcement Department have actually enforced?
Yeah. No. It's not that they've got a sort of blanket attitude of not getting involved, but I think there is also possibly a thinking that's weighing up whether some cases are more worth following up than others in terms of the ability of the pay for the work or indeed to pay for any sort of fine would be forthcoming on top of that. So
okay.
I'll try and get to the bottom of it.
Okay.
Also on Townsend Meadow, no progress with the ash tree and establishing the ownership of the land. That's only developed, but hasn't come back to me in way. I'll ask more information on that. Not surprised. Again, we'll just have to probably hope or try and get County Council to remove the tree, and then the owners will be on them to find out who it's going to build for it.
Okay.
That's assuming that they agree that the tree is a danger to the highway.
But a quote has gone to the household from.
There is a quote that exists. Should the work be done, how much it would cost?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think the homeowner is aware of that, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Could ask for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Hunts Close, that planning application, as you know now, I think is that's coming to committee next week on the 23rd, which is Tuesday, is that right? I've registered to speak as a member advocate in support of the officer's recommendation to refuse. Sorry.
We have a meeting that conflicts with that on
23rd,
potentially. There seems little point in restating what we have already previously submitted as an objection and duplicating what you might say and what the planning might say. So, we could, to that effect, and remind the us to take into account the statement that we will make.
Well, just to my mind, I think it would be a good look if there was someone there, just even if it was just to take one minute to reinforce the position.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Tom. Yeah.
Okay.
We have any volunteers?
What time is it like?
Can we reschedule?
There's only one item on the agenda, so it won't be
too long. Yeah.
What time is that? So it starts at 7:30.
We can reschedule.
Could we ask Clive so we could reschedule?
I'm in London, but I'll have to look at my diary. I'll look.
It puts under quite a lot of pressure.
If it's 7:30, our meeting's at 5:30.
I'll wrap it up.
Someone who sat on the committee.
We'll make sure we get
I think that you're probably right to say that in terms of the actual outcome, it's unlikely to sort of you know, be a major influence. It's just that
Can I ask a quick question? So one of the reasons for refusal was obviously the lack of a 106 agreement. Presumably the applicant is aware of that. Will they potentially submit a draft head to SEM to the 106 prior to the committee meeting to say that becomes a reason not for refusal, or have they missed their chance on that?
I think they've missed their chance on that.
Surprised.
I mean, that one's, as you said, only one of the reasons.
Yeah.
Possibly not the foremost reason.
I was surprised they didn't cover that one off, really.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you say there was something else, that quick?
Yes, yes.
It's not
parish councils itself for that.
Okay, and then just finally, the growing bulldog update from Urban Civic, which was at the Bulldog Area Forum on Monday evening. As always, Paul Mumford and his colleague Rebecca Smith. It's Becca Britton. And Rebecca, someone else who was there. And, they gave, as always, a very sort of complete and full account of themselves, and they're following up the latest public consultation exercise that they've done before Christmas, and gave a slide presentation with their sort of views on what they'd learned from that process and the bits that they were likely to respond to, bits that they were pretty certainly not going to change their mind about. So the two points that you asked about prior to that were, you highlighted the location of the school and the situation there, and also proposals about the route to the station for commuter traffic. So on that latter point, they're not going to budge on their, it's probably not fair to say their refusal, but they're saying that they don't think that the county council will, they'll get the county council to provide road access to the station from the Royston Road side, which would be the logical way in, given the new traffic road layout around big development site.
Sorry, I'm interrupting. So, what clout have these people got? Who are they?
This is the company that are working for the landowner, which is the county council, to devise the master plan for the whole development.
So they have got some clout?
Oh, yes. So we're at the stage where they're drafting their master plan, which will then go to the officers and project board members of the council for discussion and a decision on that, which might be then chucked back to them, or eventually the process will end up with the full council having to make a decision on whether or not to accept that master plan. From that point onwards, then you're starting to look at outline planning applications from various parts of the site or the whole site globally.
The station access for residents of Ashwell and Bygrave is still an outstanding issue, isn't it?
It is to us, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for others as well.
It was on the list of items that Urban and Civic were saying they weren't prepared really to have a rethink about. So when challenged, Paul said that the route for motorists coming from this direction would be to take the Newlyk Road onto Royston Road, then go into Station Road from the White Horse Street junction and go into the station.
Well, that is nonsense.
Parking.
You would know that.
Almost impossible for, well, not impossible, but very difficult for drop-off.
Yeah.
I presume you're what we say,
Yes, well, this is the point I made on Monday night. It's very counterintuitive to take that route round into the station.
Or to provide a sort of park and ride facility on the north side, which was the other suggestion.
Well, I think the logical thing to do for most people would be to have some sort of drop-off point on the road, because there's going to be a footbridge for pedestrians and cyclists from Royston Road currently across to the development site. There should be a It should be possible.
Whether or not the second one's going to be there is still the subject of that.
Sorry to interfere again. I think neither of you two were in your particular situations at the moment. I'm not promising to go over or under for probably the word around that promise.
No, it doesn't ring a bell. Over or under?
The railway line. To be traffic through Bulldog. I think there is a significant from the north. I think there's a significant access and parking issue. The car park's not big enough for cars to. Day, to cut off street parking that's currently used is going to exacerbate the problem.
I don't think there'll be any change to what's presently there. That was my understanding.
Not the car
park. Not the car park. 2,500 houses.
Street parking won't be possible because cars won't be able to drive down and park the cars where they do currently.
On
the bike road and the side roads.
Yeah, I think, I don't know.
You will, right? They'd have to go a long way around.
Yeah.
Do you have any influence? Just say yes or no.
Yes.
Right, give me an example of it.
in all the consultation meetings that we've had, team at Urban and Civic have been very attentive to our questions, and the fact that they've come to Ashwell with a presentation to listen to your concerns, I think is part of certainly something that I've instigated for you. They're coming back again, aren't they, Graham? I don't know if we've got a final date, but they've offered to present to parish councils in Ashwell and Bygrave in separate meetings to talk through plans there and listen again to concerns and ideas from residents. So they're taking everything on board. I think they've actually been really good at listening to what local people have got to say.
They've got lots of different competing interests to weigh up, haven't they? They can't please everybody.
And yes, thank you, Chris. I think it's unfair to say nothing to him.
No,
we're not at a stage where final decisions have been made yet. So still, but I mean, I think it's important that all communities affected by it continue to put pressure on.
Yeah. As you say, I mean, final decisions haven't been made. They are kind of crystallising now into what the draft master plan would look like, and Steve probably knows a bit more about this than me, especially on the project board, but one of their driving sort of philosophies is to keep traffic movements to a minimum, and that is going to involve some sort of deterrent to people using their cars, particularly from the new development to places like the station. Also, they're very, very keen to deter people from using Station Road and North Road and Bulldog as an access to and from the A1.
I think for me, one of the biggest issues is going to be a station in Ashwell, because I've noticed, I don't know why, whether fares have gone up or not fares, Station parking has gone up at Royston, Baldock, Letchworth, but at the time I leave in the morning, the car parking has got a lot worse in the 2 weeks since the start of the year. Because I suspect, and there's lots of people I don't recognise, I assume they're coming from elsewhere. And I suspect if Baldock, you know, has an extended period of delays and frustrations from people who are currently using it, and then they'll come 3 or 4 miles up the road and park or try and park in Ashwell.
There's 60 or 70 cars most days up on the roads around Ashwell Station, which absolutely swamp. By car to Ashwell Station, and no plan. And this is it's just going to
is that something
even more?
Yeah, is that an issue that we've, prior to my involvement, etc., been raised with the council?
Yeah.
So that knock-on effect should be mitigated by the developers, by some sort of contribution to resolving some of the issues here, or by Network Rail, or by the council itself?
Well, so it's certainly been raised with North Hearts.
Many times.
What's the phrase, or the abbreviation of the sustainable transport link? The guy that runs that is aware of. I mean, he's promoted the station, the footpath and cycle bike. He's promoted that. I mentioned a contribution to the civic. You know, the alternative, well, not the alternative, but the idea of putting some of the funding, the completion of that footpath side way to the station. So we've heard that from us as well.
I think that the
plans need to be,
it's also,
there needs to be some recognition of that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I can see that there is an issue, really, it's difficult. I can see they don't want to expand the number of people who are driving around Baldock to get to the station. But of course, people from Ashwell, it is feasible for them to walk or for most of them to cycle to Portlock Station. So, I mean, I guess the question is, so if they were prepared to put some money into providing parking at Ashwell Station, is it something that is capable of being implemented? That is capable of being implemented. Yeah.
Is there a site? Well, there is a site, and that's linked to the landowner who is prepared to make land available for the footpath and cycleway.
Yes.
Conditional on some agreement to a planning application.
Yeah, but it's kind of linked to a housing development in South Cambridgeshire.
Yeah, you know, I was heavily involved with that, and then I found that the person who got put into that didn't own the land.
But the other party came here.
The other family came here 2 years ago.
Agreed in principle to do it
as
long as there was no liability for him as a landowner. As long as they are protected from any implications of development of land, they're prepared to make the land available. It's a question of funding the infrastructure.
That's for the path, not for a car park, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's for the path,
yeah.
Not for the car park, but it's all, but they've also made some statement about the their request for
a statement. I've spent hours and days on this. I will never get touched that again. You get promises, and absolutely nothing comes of it. If you're going to provide a walking place from that Ashwell to the station, I will guarantee you won't have many people using it in this sort of weather. I mean, we've got to live in a real world. You probably think I'm being a bit aggressive about this. I didn't get aggressive, but I get pissed. I get fed up on things, to hear things that people are promising. I'm sorry if I had a go there, but something's going to, you know, they've come into a last thing and come up with a plan. It won't have any effect on Ashwell at all. Don't kid yourself, it does.
I'm not sure how realistic this is, but there's certainly a potential to argue that the way to ensure that that people from Ashwell and Bygrave don't contribute to traffic in Baldock, well, Bygrave's perhaps a bit more difficult, but in terms of Ashwell,
yeah,
is to encourage more people to use the station,
yeah,
at Ashwell. And certainly the lack of parking and a walking route, but I think you're probably right. I think the number of people who would walk to the station today is probably fairly limited.
I mean, if you have a walk, walking to the station, it's just not on. You know, it takes 45 minutes.
Yeah. So people are, people, I mean, there were, you could cycle in 15, but cycling's not attractive on a day like today, is it?
There's quite a few residents.
There will be some. Yeah, I don't think we're getting away on this today. I mean, I've been there, done it, and so much.
But I think that just restating the fact that there is. So land needs to be made available to improve construction needs to take place to encourage people not to use Baldock.
Yes.
And further than that, to minimise the use of cars.
Yeah.
Could one very quick, I'm sure you've been through it before. Who owns the breakers yard behind the station? Presumably at one point that was part of the railway land, if it isn't all still. And if it is, it leased long term to those to the tenants owned by the breakers? Is there a possibility of getting possession of that?
I didn't hear what you said.
You know, there were car breakers yard adjacent to the station, away from the main road.
That's still owned by people at where the expert thing, but
Chalk,
and that won't be free for most of our time.
Well, Omnia are closing that site, or it's closed. What we don't know what.
I think there are things that go up in the air and people live in them.
Possibly. Still there.
Yeah.
So, but that's got potential use for all sorts of things, not just that.
On the point of money, I think it wouldn't be unreasonable to ask Urban Civic for some sort of contribution to the infrastructure if there was a possibility of doing something up there to mitigate in their view the amount of traffic that was going to be displaced from Baldock.
Certainly
no
harm in pursuing that.
No.
Do we know who owns the land in front of the site on the left? Used to be farmed by Oregonian, what I thought.
Isn't that some landowner? Isn't that, I've forgotten the names.
I wouldn't go there at the back.
No.
I suggest we move on.
Anyway, that discussion that took place on Monday is available to view if you're interested on the North Hearts YouTube channel.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, yes, I think there are a lot of things that are still up in the air about this draft master plan. This isn't the only. Wider issues around school and transport.
Okay.
So should we resolve to look into making a contribution request, or at least putting a hand in the air, and maybe I can have a chat about that?
Sure, that's a good point.
I mean, actually putting our school out sooner rather than later, so it doesn't get forgotten.
I think one thing would be very useful.
Through what?
I don't know. Well, the channels would be, whether we would have to wait until the master plan is actually published for consultation, or whether it's when the actually how our planning application is going, or whether it's
so the parish council puts in that
consultation
to urban and civic
whether we wait till the next consultation and submit a response along those lines as a heads up that the parish council will be looking for some sort of contribution towards mitigation to additional traffic and parking at National Station.
Other parish councils, Radwell and Bygrave, have actually written a formal response to a consultation to urban and civic, stating where they come from. You could do it at that top point to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
get your thoughts out
there. Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's do that.
I think one thing that is worth exploring is, I mean, the time to start talking about the getting it formally recorded is on the master plan time. But I think in order to do that, you need to have some idea as to how much it would be. So I think it's perhaps worth exploring that if that's feasible. Because I know on other applications, there are parishes have been much more successful when they can say, this is what we want and this is what it will cost, rather than we'd like something a bit like this, please.
Yeah.
Is a less compelling argument. I'm not quite sure how you're going to go about that, but I think it's worth investigating whether or not you can get to a position where at the master plan, where at the planning application time, you're able to make a request for some funding for at least an approximate amount and be fairly specific about what.
No, I think that's understood that we have to make a claim for a specific project or, you know, for financial assistance for a specific project or like land to support a specific project. So, it may be early days, but I think you're quite right to flag it up now because we will need to think about this quite carefully.
Well, I know the prices for 2 years ago when I'm not allowed to say what they were. So, if you want to do something, again, start from now.
Right.
We've got quite a comprehensive file help stuff at all.
Anything else to
not in the
description.
No. Right. We can catch up about S106 applications afterwards, I think. Probably.
Right. Okay.
I'm afraid I'm trying to do two parish council meetings in one evening. So if you will excuse me, I will now go to Sam.
Okay. Well, just press on, Chairman.
Yeah. Okay. We'll close the public session then now and move on to item 99, reports from working groups. On the first item, 91, green energy and EV charging infrastructure. I and Krishna have completed a carbon literacy course and I have also had engagement with the England group, and essentially to move forward with the QG Energy England application for a community energy evaluation for Ashwell. Effectively, or the working group to include not only parish councillors, but also members of the public. And so quite a lot of the communication through the yearbook and is involved in members of Ashwell who reducing the carbon footprint to Ashwell. Or have some specific engineering or into the ideas and planning. That whole process can involve people who are interested in encouraging the whole community to reduce their own individual carbon footprint, as well as an energy scheme for Ashwell. So we will carry on working to achieve those goals, but are looking for members to express an interest in joining a working group. Which could potentially come under the name of Zero Carbon Ashwell, with hints and tips and ask questions, and experts can questions. Ian is also involved from the parish council perspective. The next steps.
So are you publicising an invitation for people to get involved?
Absolutely, yeah. Through the Ashwell yearbook, Ashwell News, and we can run an article on the parish council website. And indeed, once we've got a leaflet, we could do a door drop. But when you hear the news that reports that 2023 is the warmest year on record, flooding that's taking place, then the reality is actually at the limit of what the scientists say the Earth should tolerate already. The goal is to start winding the clock back by 2035. Okay.
Okay, so a little bit of investigation to find a suitable date, sent out a note asking for suggestions. Basically, the idea is to schedule it a bit outside the holidays when a lot of people might be away, but at a time when the weather is quite good. So we settled on the 20th of April, Saturday, 20th of April. We'll be publicising that in the yearbook and in other places in due course.
Planning advisory on 6. This one's 6. Can you say through the housing survey? Now just effectively we need to just engage with the person taking over.
Giles Merger.
Giles Merger. Yeah.
Giles Merger is no longer our contact there. We do need to liaise with them and basically get the survey off the ground. I mean, they're going to provide us with the materials, but we obviously have to manage the process.
Yeah.
They'll be doing, as I understand it, they'll be doing all the analysis, so the objective result. Okay, so that's the housing needs survey.
Is there a meeting that they will require before kicking that process off, or?
I think
there's a standard questionnaire that they have that can be adapted if necessary by the parish council. But we saw an initial draft of that, and there was actually very little of anything to change. So it's there. I mean, survey, and make a financial contribution to it, but it is designed, run, managed by them.
Yeah.
We reduce the cost, hoping for distribution.
Yeah. So that has the button been pressed, as it were?
No, it hasn't yet been pressed because of this. There's this handover from Giles Meredith at Eastern Community Homes to his replacement. To have contact with that person.
Yeah, but we will have to,
we will,
to get the process going and understand who does what. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right.
Okay. So, Trees and Hedges Group. Everything's okay down at Small Gains. We've persuaded the developers to cut the hedge back on the side.
This is on Station Road.
Station Road, yeah. And then going over to the recreation field. Some whips. This is due to the fact that a lot of them being damaged by people climbing over the fence and trampling all over them. So it looks like we might have to, as in front of the other one on Lucas Lane, which is being damaged as well.
Yeah.
So I can look into the cost of that.
So
would
that be a permanent fence or just temporary while the
hedge grows? Well, I was thinking could be temporary, couldn't it? Because once that hedge is grown,
well,
you know, further need.
That's right. Well, depending on how prickly it is, I suppose.
And we can always keep the wire and
yeah,
for a future event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it only really probably needs to be the length of width of the football pitch, because it's damage from behind the goal mouth that is particularly.
Yeah. Because it's, well, I think it was about 120 metres, the whole length. But thinking, what side can you put it on? Is it better to put it on the roadside or the field side? But obviously, the field side's better.
Well, it's got to be the field side of the west.
It's almost how we got to have room for people to get in and see to the hedge. Will that interfere with the seats? So I'll have to go and have another look at
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Might have to be staggered. Might have to be a section in access, but
so I don't know what we can do to stop them.
I think there's a way, it just needs to be looked at and measured.
You can go lightweight galvanized fencing, which is probably barbed wire on top, which would do the job.
Random question, David. It's not on our land, but I've noticed a number of the farmers seem to be planting new hedges along the roadside. Is that part of a rewilding initiative? Like in the place
where they get the grub and
grass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one normally happens.
Yeah.
It would be nice if we could get hold of some, but I doubt we will. But the idea is that if we have a word with our councillor, Tom Tyson, he might have a bit of spare money for us. For some hedge plants, and we don't know if the Ashford Parish Council will have any cash as well. But the thing is, the labour's free, so we've just got people.
Well, sometimes the Woodland Trust offer whips or
frustratingly, the actual planting material is much, much cheaper than the stakes and the protectors. Fairly expensive.
Yeah, so we just got the cost of the spirals and the cane. The canes are dirt cheap, I can get them easily. And it's just the spirals, really.
Large round poles and the wire fencing that has been put in to protect the hedge on. So if we were to replicate that, then it would be a
lot of materials.
Look, can we just get some estimates?
Yeah.
And then we'll see what it comes in at, and then we can make a decision.
Exactly. Okay.
There.
Okay. Anything else, David?
Get the plan together with Green and Ashwell about where they would like to plant. It's feasible for them to plant. And some parish land as well. I mean, like there's small guys laying next to the container, which is an eyesore. Right in front of that. So, yeah, we're just liaising with Green and Ashwell. They've said what they want to do. I'm going to look at it, see if it's feasible for them, and see where we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, if you want any help with maps, then I'm quite happy to do that. Not a good time right now.
I thought the idea of being able to pinpoint
the
trees and the disease.
Allocate data But that's the great thing about electronic maps. You can do all that sort of data analysis by appending data items to each location.
Well, Jane Second owned some of the sort of grassed areas around the village have potential for trees. So if they could be mapped, then that would help.
I believe Tom's Ashwell. Tom's getting involved with that.
Right.
And I'm trying to get hold of them as well, but it's
not hard. We've had responses to settle now, but they're looking into it, of course.
Okay. Oh. Someone said the embankment in front of the school in Bear Lane is an ideal place for some small trees and
down Bear Lane.
Yeah. Opposite the school there's a big embankment.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is owned by Settle, isn't it?
It's managed by
them. Yeah, it's owned by them.
It's had to council.
Yeah, I could probably give you some help from the last week of February onwards.
Okay, so that's it, really. Thank you. Thank you. Updates.
Yearbook. Okay, the content is just about all in. Adverts, well, I'm not foreseeing selling any more adverts. Started loading it up into the InDesign software. The target is to get it out to the printer by the latest Monday, the 26th of February. A lot has to happen in the meanwhile, but I think we're on course. In terms of costs, the difference between the printing cost and advertising is in the region of £250, assuming all the advertisers pay.
Really?
Stuck is sorry.
Well done.
It's a great result.
I thought you really wanted
to.
You moved a lot of stuff away today, which I lauded a bit. Lauded did that well. But the thing I've been looking at, it's a year since we're going to sit the bike to catch people by speeding.
Oh, speeding, right.
Yeah, it's a year old today and nothing's happened. Now, I looked up my, so it sounds awful the way I'm putting this, but remember I was put in charge of it and we started from nothing. We had a good, great group of people and we were operative within 6 weeks. And I just wondered what's happening about that. I know it's not the right time of year to talk about it. Please can we put you, I don't want to do it again, I've done my bit on that, but it's all been forgotten.
We probably ought to get it back onto the agenda.
That's all I want, future, but not
future meetings.
Done it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, it's
regularly
discussed.
I realise,
I think, yeah, the thing that the bit that's community sort of speed group
Yeah, but we had to start from scratch.
I understand that. But that, okay, that has been discussed. We just need to get it back onto the agenda.
Okay.
Chairman,
yes.
Are the police still reluctant to do speed traps?
No.
They gave an update, two meetings ago, and the PCSO came in here to say that they were going to be doing more over the course of the next month or two. They didn't obviously tell us when it was going to be, because that's the whole point. But
but that thing was only now and again. We've jumped out of where we never knew. And it was really effective. Mm. I think you were around then. You've been around years, but it worked, didn't it? But why can't we reinstate it for the spring?
It's the people and the equipment.
Well, I thought the equipment. I got the gun in my lorry.
Right. there needs to be a group of people willing to do it.
Well, they were starting to do it, weren't they?
No, it hasn't been. There hasn't been any.
I'll put it on the agenda time. Hopefully,
it hasn't been an agreed group finalised yet. That's the issue.
I'll put it on the agenda for next time. Yeah, I'll get back.
Don't have a pattern on the island. Hey, let's.
Because there's no point in doing it if it doesn't have any sense. Right. Item 100, planning matters, new consultations. There's only one which is 3 Shire End Close for insertion of front and rear dormer windows and roof lights. have there been any...
When I checked, there was one comment from a neighbour which was supportive, and the only point that he made was that the new proposed composite cladding should be the same colour as the existing cladding. That isn't actually specified on the application. So I can't imagine it.
This is out on the, it's the new development out on what was the Turkey Farm on the Station Road, out towards the station. Anyone got any comments?
Yeah, I mean, normally I would say, adding additional bedrooms makes these dwellings even more unaffordable, so that's against the main plan. But actually, counterintuitively, it doesn't make much difference here because it's already a 5-bedroom house, so it's already unaffordable. my view is if we want to stick another bedroom in, from the point of view of the main plan, it doesn't have any effect really. But there you go. So I wouldn't object to.
No objections. No. Okay. We've talked about Hunt's Ridge. So
just noting, Graham, that in the officer's reports, there is the reference from the parish council for a contribution to the 106 in the event that the planning application were decided favourably or potentially appealed favourably. But the work on that has been noted.
And we also asked for the land as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
Good. And there have been no significant other decisions. Okay, reports from committees, HR committee, that's already been discussed. So reports from councillors on premises, Springs, Martin. The Springs.
Oh, right. We had two big things that were chopped down just before Christmas. One you'll see as you go into the middle of it. Have you been down it recently or not?
Yeah.
I could have shown you what was done. So it was that part was done, and also the other part on the other end of the streams, where that's been on the cards for ages, that was done just before. And if you have a look near the pub, it really does look good. So that's two big things. I'm keeping it brief because there are one or two weak small things that haven't been done because we haven't got somebody that's actually been able to do the work on the leak up by the main river part. But everything's under control. It's good. If you have a chance, just poke your nose at it, you'll notice quite a difference.
Right.
I mean, I'm making that.
The footpath, the steps down, have you had a quote?
I haven't been told that.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear back from the quote.
Yeah, do keep me informed.
Yeah.
I don't push myself forward except this time.
Yeah, no, when I had to start just earlier in the week, and once I hear back from the quote, I'll let you know.
Right, okay.
Okay. St Mary's Churchyard grounds maintenance.
Well, I'd better do that because Vinny looks after that now. Right. I'm just his sidekick now.
Right.
But unfortunately, I haven't been able to get hold of him. It seemed to me extremely expensive for three pieces of wood to be taken down. But, you know, Jane tells me that that's what it costs these days. But that is a lot of money. Jane, you did say it was...
I agree with you. It was expensive.
Bloody expensive. Extremely expensive. But I'm not criticising Vinny because, you know, if that's the way he is, worries me to death. I look after all the other trees. And if something goes wrong there...
Martin, I assume the tree work in the churchyard is an item that you would... wish to put on the list for the liaison meeting with the church representatives that Nikki is organising.
Because you know I've got to be at that, and they are so difficult to get those lot. There's only two of them,
mm-hmm.
and you can't get them together. You know,
yeah,
give them the Holy Cross and get them in.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm going to.
Good.
Now that I've got councillors' availability, I need to go.
Because I usually go to church on a Sunday, so.
So I can, now they've got councillors' availability, I can go to the church to try and match all that up and come back to you with that, okay?
So that wasn't too short, was it? But I'm happy with what's been done. There are other little bits and pieces, but you'll see that when you walk through.
Good, thank you. Item three, recreation ground. Or whether we drain down the system to protect from further damage. That's a very short-term action. There's no further update on facilities and repair replacement of the pavilion and public toilets there. But I have put in my report for the yearbook the option of funding a replacement or repaired pavilion, two options, one being donations from the public, which we've been seeking for at least a year now, the other being adding iron specific uplift to the precept. To fund the development over 10 years, which was per year per household in the village, and seeking comments from residents as to that route. But you know, either the current pavilion will continue to deteriorate to the point where it's unusable, or money will have to be spent on it, and that's really, those are the only two options we have to date for funding. Okay, small gains, David. No, nothing. The rabbit fencing seems to be working fairly well.
Good.
No vandalism, touch wood. I think it's okay. I mean, as I said somewhere, I saw the track. You know, to do it probably would cost thousands. And then even then it would be broken up with a tractor. So all we could do is keep patching it every year. Also, so that's it really. Street furniture, littered in the survey.
Okay, yeah. Last time I said I'd come back with some recommendations. Well, one or two things have changed. Well, something's changed since last time, in that we've been informed that the reduction in the number of bins is likely to be in the region of 30%. We got 21, so I make that 6.3. So we're going to have to go down to 15. I think it's worth a little conversation with North Arts just to get that confirmed. And also talk to them about any possible deals that we do, in the sense that if we reposition some of the bins to make them easier to access and collect refuse from, then, you know, we'd be prepared to support a couple more. So I think that might be something worth trying. We'll get in touch with the
contact. I would say that I think the 30% is across the district as an average figure. It's not going to be the case that every single town and village is going to have a reduction of 30% of service.
All right.
I can't say exactly how.
So it's worth a try.
So we should definitely put a pitch in for what we want.
Yeah.
Rationalizing and repositioning where we feel we'll get maximum benefit, and put that proposal.
So there are locations in some of the towns where there are literally bins next to each other or opposite sides of the road, which would be true.
Okay, you're saying that it's actually worth having that conversation.
Yes.
So we'll give that a go. Yeah. So nothing at the moment until we get the results of that conversation.
Seems.
I think the only update is provided is from me and Nikki to say that the Women's Institute, I think, have said that they have sufficient funding to replace the seasonally vacant meadow. So I think you were going to be speaking with them about arranging quotes.
I've chased them on for a quote for that. I got an email today to say that they're going to go down and have a look. So hopefully by next week I should have an exact figure for you. But once I have that quote, I can report that back to you and see where we stand. Okay.
But as far as we're, I think, aware that they will be able to cover the entire cost of the seat and installation.
Yeah, that's what we're
doing. This is the one on Angel
Committee.
Sorry, I didn't quite. I had a look at it actually. the steel structure seems to be quite sound. It's really just wood. And the wood is held on with simple coach bolts. And I wondered if it would make quite a nice project for somebody to do, maybe one of the organisations around here. Don't know. Is that just too awkward to think about?
When Benny went to have a look at it, he was of the view that the substructure, if you like, the metal bit has been bent badly, out of shape.
Yeah, it is out of shape. Yeah, I'll give you that. It's quite solid and sound, though. It doesn't wobble when you sit on it, even with a couple of people. But it's probably simpler just to go for a replacement, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
I would think so. If there's funding for it,
prepared to do it.
We did have the one on Compass Pond, the precinct, which was a bit more of a major one. That was refurbished. It was fucking expensive. That was putrid.
Yeah, I mean, in this instance, if they're prepared to fund it and that covers the cost, then let's just go with it.
Yeah.
Any other
And War Memorial and St. Chapel, no further update on that.
No, Nick and I have discussed that actually. We've got a plan in hand for that. We've got a couple of contacts. That was the main delay, actually, getting identifying some professionals who might possibly provide service.
Okay, so we'll get an update, further update at the next meeting.
Yeah, I won't let you off the bottom.
Any other premises or responsibilities reports? No. Okay. Finance and governance, budget tracking, we noted that, and those the December 2023 summit by responsible councillors, grounds maintenance contracts.
Both of them are rolling. And you have in front of you the costs, one of which is no increase.
Right. That's the picture. Budget setting and preset proposals.
So are you okay with those? Because that needs to be formally. Everyone's okay to roll those both to your own contracts.
Right. Budget setting and preset proposals for 24-25. Since the last meeting, we have had the expenditure and income updated for December 23. So we have a better view of the outcome for the current financial year. As a result of that, the earlier last iteration of the budget, we've received quotations from suppliers for 2024. So we've been able to reduce forecast expenditure on clerking salaries and pensions. We've been able to reduce some of the budget allocation for grounds maintenance. Due to Norton's work, we've been able to reduce the yearbook printing costs. But we've made sure that in the sums proposed, budget should still give adequate cover for election expenses, which have been going up. Tree work, which is an inflationary item, grass cutting, springs maintenance, seats and bins, and then the church clock and War Memorial maintenance, because they're all key facilities that the village expects to be maintained.
You're not cutting the trees down.
No. We're making sure that there is enough provision for continuing to maintain a tree program. So the revised budget takes those savings into account, but it also ensures that village amenities and services are supported as we have been doing over the last couple of years. So the numbers that come out of that would mean an increase just under 14% versus the current year's budget, up to 127, just over 127,000. The income, excluding the preset, will drop slightly because there's a forecast of lower advertising receipts to reflect the financial pressures that businesses are facing. When that's put into the NHC preset, the preset works comes out at just over £112,000, which is a 16.3% precept, and on a per household basis on band D, that would mean a cash increase of £17.22 per household, and that's a 16.5% increase versus 2024.
When will we have written, when will you send that to us?
Yeah, you. I did circulate that earlier. So, you know, the underlying fact is that costs of administration staff and of services that we have to buy into do the works around the village are increasing as they are for every household in the land. So I believe that this is a realistic set of finances for the next financial year. Does anyone have any thoughts, suggestions, or is everyone happy to?
So if I'm right, this is essentially just an update of the figures to reflect what was discussed in the finance committee that we had.
Correct.
So there's nothing really new here at all. This is effectively the finance committee's decision that was made some time ago.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine by me then. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to see it. I'm sure you agree with it, but it's nice to be like everybody else and have it.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone else? So, do we have a proposal to accept the budget?
Yeah, I propose to accept the budget.
So, and is everyone happy with the precept that is requested is applied to this one?
Proposed?
Yeah, just to note, you do have to have two separate resolutions for those two things.
Which we have.
Yes, you've done.
Right. Okay.
And how, Graham, will that be communicated to the parishioners through the year?
Through the year, okay. Yeah. And at the parish meeting.
So I think it's important to note the work that's gone into preparing the budget and that wherever possible we've tried to keep things to the minimum, yeah. But it's an unavoidable consequence of a vaulted inflation environment that we've all personally been subject to as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I have prepared some notes for the yearbook on the basis of the finance committee, and I think it's going to be relatively easy just to update that. But the key thing is to make it an understandable document, and I really struggle with that rather than sort of reduce it to a technical, you know, publication of the budget, you know, make it something that anyone in the parish can understand. I find that difficult. Mm. So, you know, your input on this would be very much welcome. And I'll get a job about in the next few days. If you could comment on that, I'd be very grateful. It's got to be informative, understandable, accessible.
I think it's really important to be clear on that because it's it's a big percentage increase.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's important that we explain the problems of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think the other aspect to it, though, is that because the village consists of the parish council, represent a small part, it's less than 10% on average, of the total council tax that you will pay, the cash increase of £17 is relatively small. Parishioners will keep the village in good shape. Well, an understanding of us today. Okay. Last item then is the unreasonable complaints procedure. We did say at the last meeting that we would discuss a revised document at this meeting. In the intervening month, we've identified a model document, which is slightly different from the one we looked at previously, but tailored to Ashford Parish Council discussion for next meeting. Okay, that brings us to the end of the meeting. Thank you, Adrian.
Can I ask a question? Are we going to have Mr. Cook?
Hang on. Let's finish the recording. We're just stopping the. Just.
Well, how do you know what I was going to say?
I could guess.
I would literally say goodbye to members of the public, and I'm closing the meeting.
I know you think I'm very short, aren't you? You're back in too quickly, but I've had a gutful of it over the years, and I've